Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Erevin Daf Samach. We are in Nuntes Amad Beis, two lines from the bottom. It says, Gemara, Umi Omar Rav Nachman Hochi. Now Rav Nachman told us a chiddush. Suppose you have a wall with a ladder leaning against that wall. This ladder provides access over that wall. So what happens? Does that wall become negated and obsolete? Or do we say, well, the wall is still there. The ladder can only help matters. You can consider the ladder, although it's presenting a Pesach, it's creating an entrance, an access point. But that's only if it provides benefit. Meaning, it's not inevitable that that mechitza has been deemed obsolete. No, Rav Nachman says you apply the concept of a ladder only lekula. If it suits your needs, if you'd like it to be considered a Pesach, then fine. But otherwise, the mechitza is still intact. The fact that there's a ladder there that provides access over that mechitza doesn't take away from the din of the mechitza. And we consider the mechitza still to be in place, fully intact, and provides the din of mechitza. Says Gemara, Umi Amar Rav Nachman Hachi, is that the case? That a sulam, a ladder, can only provide benefit, can only be applied lekula, to our convenience. V'am, Rav Nachman Shmuel. Rav Nachman said the name of Shmuel. Anshe Chotzer v'anshe Merpesas. Let's say you have a courtyard with several residents living in it, and this courtyard features a Merpesas. Merpesas means a balcony, a porch. So you have a Chotzer, and you have a porch. The porch was sitting in front of apartments, upper level apartments, would channel out, use that porch to leave their apartments. They walk along the porch, then they have a ladder, a staircase, some sort of way to get down to the Chatzar, and then they walk through the Chatzar out to the street. So they're really on two levels. You have the Chatzar, you have the Merpesas, two separate distinct areas. Now, what happens if they didn't really join together in an Erev? They didn't make a Erev together, a joint Erev. Rather, as Rashi says, each one made their own Erev. The Bnei Chatzar made their own Erev. The Bnei Merpeses made their own Erev. So the question is, do they really need to be included in one Erev? Because they're really residing in two separate areas. But the Anshei Merpeses, they come down from their porch and they access the Chatzar as well. They walk through. So the halacha is like this. Im yesh lefaneo daka arba. If in front of the ladder, down on the bottom of that ladder, there's a daka. We discussed the daka concept in the Fontes. A small Pesach. Or as Tosfos says, a small mechitza. So if this daka is four tefachim high, in which case it creates that barrier, a minimal barrier, but barrier nevertheless, which separates the Merpeses from the Chatzar, then there's no concern. They're considered to be like two separate entities, Eino Yiseres, they don't conflict, and they don't need to be included in the Erev of the Chatzar. Vim lav, but there's no Daka present, in which case we consider the people living up in the Merpeses as though they're living down here in the Chatzar. They're integrated, it's one usage area. Oiseres, then it creates concern for the Anshei Chatzar, and unless they make an Erev together with them, the Chatzar is Aser betiltel. So what's the Kasha? Apparently, even a Sulam, even a ladder, a staircase coming down from the Merpeses would be considered problematic and create a concern here. Even the Chumra. So this is not really consistent with Rav Nachman, who told us that a Sulam can only be used to our benefit. It can't create problems. Here we have a sulam, which is going to connect the Merpeses to the Chatzar, and it's going to be applied l'chumra. We consider this access point, this sulam, as a connector, even though it results in astringency. Says in Rachel, my skin, you know what we're speaking about? But the Legevoya Merpeses Asar. That the entire Merpeses wasn't 10 tefachim off the ground of the Chatzar. So you have the Chatzar, the Merpeses is right next to it. So since it's within 10, it's considered to be one and the same area. They're not two separate domains. It's not like it's a mechitza between them. They're not removed. They're together. So it's not the sulam which is connecting them. Sulam can't connect things, l'chumra. It's the fact that they're located so close to each other. It's not 10 tefachim high. And that's why they need to have an Erev one with the other. Says Zimra, one second. If that's the case, if not 10 tefachim high, then they're inevitably connected. So what happens if you create this daka, a small pesach, small mechitza, in front of the, on the bottom of the ladder, in the chatzar, to separate the mepesach from the chatzar? It's not going to separate anything. The entire mepesach is deemed to be part of the chatzar, because it's within 10. So what's the point of the daka? How can that separate things? Says the Gemara, gufefes ad eser amis. We're speaking that the mepesach wasn't exposed. It was a railing going around the porch. A railing which creates a mechitza. In which case, they're considered to be separate from the chatzar. But what happened was, there was some opening in that railing. Ad eser amis. An opening which was up until 10 amis, means 10 amis or less, which creates a pesach in that mechitza. So that pesach gives them access down to the chatzar. And now it depends. If there is no daka there, then they're considered to be connected to the chatzar. But if there's a daka there, in front of that pesach, so then that disconnects them. There's no need for them to integrate in the air of the chatzar. The kivin of a daka. So once they made that daka to separate them, istaluki, istaluk lemiach. They've been separated, disconnected from the chatzar. Therefore, it's okay. So the kasha was, because we assumed, number one, the mepesach was beyond the reach of the chatzar. It was its own entity. The only thing that connected them was the sulam. A sulam can create concerns? According to Rav Nachman, it can't. The answer is, the entire mepesach is so close to the chatzar, it's integrated by virtue of its location. The only thing was, there was a railing which created a mechitza around the mepesach, which separates them, but there was an opening in that mechitza. So now there's a true pesach between the mepesach and the chatzar. Not by virtue of the sulam which is connecting them, but by virtue of the fact that the mepesach is so close to the chatzar surface, it's within 10. So that exposed area, that open space, that gap in the railing on that mepesach creates a natural pesach to the chatzar. Forget about the sulam. That itself is a pesach. Because, look, the mepesach, which is so close to the chatzar, is open. It's open to the chatzar. So, irrelevant of the sulam, there's a pesach there. There's a natural pesach there. So now it depends. If they made a daka, they've separated themselves. Otherwise, they're considered to be integrated with the chatzar, and they need to be included in the area of the chatzar. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Damashmo. Let's say it takes several ladders, lines them up, puts them against the wall. So we have a chatzar on either side of the wall. And he lines up ladder, 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 lots of ladders lined up against the wall of the chatzar on either side. So it makes this access point between two chatzaris. Afilu bi yeser me'eser. Even there's so many ladders there. They run more than 10 tefachim along that wall. Toris mechitza alav. The wall is still considered intact. Let's take a look at Rashi inside. Off to the right. It says, Rashi shirat safa. Zokav sulam etzal sulam. He lined up ladder next to ladder. So these ladders stretched more than 10 amis along the wall. It doesn't harm things. Toris mechitza alav. The wall is still a mechitza. Ve'ein mevatla mechitza. They don't negate the mechitza. We know that a wall that was actually breached, physically breached, a peretz which is more than Eser Amos, that's more than a Shir Pesach, and it's as though the wall is obsolete. And what happens? The Amil Kaman, we say later on the Gemara, Ma'arven Echad, Ma'arven Shnayim, the two chatzeres, one on either side, need to join together because there's no wall there. It's been breached too much. So if it's physically breached, then you have a concern. but in this case where the wall is still intact, you have those ladders providing access. In this case, a ladder doesn't negate the wall. It can add an additional element to your benefit. It creates that personal access route, but doesn't take away the physical phenomena. This physical mechitza that's here remains intact. So despite the fact that there are lots of ladders creating this huge access point of more than 10 amos, we don't consider as though the mechitza is gone at that point. Mechitza is still intact. It's merely creating a Pesach. Ella ratzu echad ma'arvin. So it's up to them. If they want to make one Erev due to the fact there's a Pesach, they're fine, they can do that. Ulekulav avike Pesach. Certainly you can apply a leniency here and consider the Sulon like a Pesach. But ratzu shneim ma'arvin. But if they want, they can make two separate Erevs. Ratzu shneim ma'arvin. They can separate themselves. Why? The lechumer le'amrinan, the levat le'machitza. So this is the same as we're saying along that a sulam cannot be applied lechumer. It won't be levat le'machitza. The machitza is still intact. The machitza was a Pesach. They have a choice. They can do one Erev together, and they can separate themselves. The chol be'eruvin l'hakam. Whenever we apply these halachas, when it comes to Erevin, we apply it leniently. So we take a look at this ladder and we say, well, if you're helping matters, fine. Otherwise, we're going to ignore you. So if they want to have the ladder as a Pesach to enable them to connect each other, fine. But the ladder will not negate the machitza. Machitza is still intact. If they choose, they can make their own separate independent Erevs. Continues the Gemara. Is that the case? That a ladder can only apply leniencies, can only be used for our benefit, it can't apply chumras? Ramile Rav Bruna. So Rav Bruna asked L'Rav Yehuda, B'ma'atzarta in the oil press, the Rei Rav Chanina. The oil press of Rav Chanina. Mi Omar Shmuel Teres Mechitza Alev. Is that so? That Shmuel holds that a sulam will not negate the Mechitza? It can detract from the physical phenomena of the Mechitza? It can only be applied L'Kula? V'Omar Nachman Shmuel, did Rav Nachman say the name of Shmuel himself? And this is the halacha mentioned earlier. Anshe Mepeses, Anshe Chater. We have people living up in the balcony and people living down the chater. Sheshachav leirvu. They forgot to join together in erev. If there's a daka placed in front of the bottom of that ladder coming down from the Mepeses, Einay Seres, then they don't interfere. They're considered to be a separate entity. And the chatzar is allowed to carry throughout the chatzar without concern of the b'nei merpeses. V'im lav oiseres, but without a daka, then the merpeses conflicts, and it's as though they're living down here. They need to be included in the erev. So what do we see? That a ladder creates concerns. The ladder effectively brings them down here. Although they're sitting up in the merpeses, the fact that there's a ladder here, that creates a pesach. Negates the mechitza, so to speak, and negates the fact that they're living in their own area. It connects the two entities, and they're required to integrate in an erev. So you see that a ladder is not just a kula. Hachamai iskina, we're speaking about legevam pesach sara. As we mentioned earlier, the pesach was in ten of the chatzar, and that's what created the concern, not the ladder. V'legevam pesach sara. If that's the case, kiyav daka mayavi. What's the point of the daka? How's the daka going to change matters here? They're within the chatzar area. This little daka will separate them. Says the Gemara b'mufefes ad eser amos. We're speaking about the chatzar featuring this railing, which created a separation between them and the chatzar. But it was open on one side up until 10 amos, which created a pesach. So that in itself creates a connection between the mepeses and the chatzar, because it's an opening and they're within 10 to the chatzar. So it's not like a Pesach between two chatzeres, in which case they have a choice. Well, if we choose to connect, fine. If we choose to be separate, fine. In this case, since the Pesach is where? It's on a Pesach, which is within 10 tfachim to the chatzer. That connects them. They're too close to even have the choice. They don't have the option to separate. So in this case, it depends. The key of a daka is taluki is talak macha. So once they made a daka to denote separation, and that effectively separates them, and they don't interfere with the chatzar. So this is unrelated with any halachas of sulam, of staircases. The connection here is due to the fact of their close proximity. But certainly, a sulam is only going to be something which provides benefit, and does not detract from a din of a machitza. Continues the Gemara. Hanu b'nei kakunoi. They were these residents of the town Kakunoi. The asu l'kameid of Yosef. They came before of Yosef. Amrulei, they told him, Havron gavra, to l'arv lan masin. Do you have somebody to establish an Erev for our city? Amrulei Abayi. So Rav Yosef turned to Abayi, his Talmud. He says, Zil Aravlu, go establish an Erev for them. V'chazi, but make sure that this doesn't create an uproar, a backlash in the base measure. Do it properly. Don't create complications. Also, Sabai went along. Chaza, he took a look and he noticed. Lahanu bati b'sich nahara. So this was a city which was an irsha rab, required a shir, as we mentioned after Nuntes, a publicly owned city does not allow enacting one singular area throughout the entire city. The point was because it appears like it's just a rabbin. And if we allow one single heir to be established throughout the city and allow carrying freely, this might lead to confusion. One might erroneously conclude from this that you can carry in a rabbin. So you must leave a portion of the city which is out of the heir zone, not connected to the general heir. Rashi and the Mishnah there said they can make their own heir, but you can't transfer from one to the other. They need to be separate, which will send that message and explain to all, look, the reason for carrying the city is due to an Erev. We want to advertise this Erev factor here. So this city, this Kakunoi city, was a Irsharam, which required a shear. Now, Abayi noticed, Chazal Hanu Bati, the Psicha Nahara, he noticed these several homes which were open to the river. So they were separate from the rest of the city because they had no access to the city. Their backs was closed, they were closed off completely. They didn't have access to the city. So he said, look, let these homes be considered a remnant this year. I'm going to leave them out of the Erev. Omar, Hani lahav shir l'masa. Let these homes be considered a shir for the rest of the city. And the rest of the city can be included in one Erev. Now the problem is that these homes couldn't even potentially connect to the city of the area of the city. Why? Because they have no access to the city. So the question is, are they considered a shir? So that was his question. Hadu Amar, then he reverted. He said, look, it doesn't appear that these things are qualified for a shir. Im Avnis Kulatanan. The Mishnah says, you can't make an area throughout the entire city, which denotes Mechlal. The Iboili Ruvi Matzim Arvi. That if you wish, they can be included in the Erev, meaning what is considered a remnant, a shear, a leftover? Something that can be connected, and you choose to keep it separate. So that highlights the fact that you're fulfilling the takana, the chachamim. You're leaving something, you're consciously leaving something out of the Erev. You fulfill the takana. But in a case where, in any case, these homes couldn't be connected, that's not called fulfilling the din of the Rabban. You haven't left anything out of the Erev. By default, they've been left out. Therefore, this is not considered to be a fulfillment of the takana. Ella, rather, i'avadlu kavi. I'm going to design some windows in those homes. So I'm going to break some windows in the back of those homes, which is like a pesach, which will connect them to the city. Di boi leruvi derech haloynis matzim arvi. Because in that case, they have the potential to make an air through the windows. So since they have potential to connect, they are qualified to serve as a shir. They can connect, so leaving them out is considered to be a shir for the city. So we must go ahead and break some walls there. Hadarma. Then he went and he said, no, I changed my mind. Loi boy, it's not necessary, because even if it doesn't have potential connection, that's still considered to be a shir. I'll bring it right. The Rabba Baravua, Ma'arav Lalukula Mechoyza, Arsiaisa, Arsiaisa. Rabba Ravua enacted an Erev throughout the entire city of Mechoyza, neighborhood by neighborhood. Why in that manner? Mishum Piru de Beturi. Because in between these neighborhoods, there were these ditches, these furrows, which contained dates, date pits, for the oxen, animal feed. So Piru means these ditches, the Beturi, the animal feed which contained in them. So these barriers, these ditches between the between the neighborhoods formed a natural machitz, a natural barrier, and didn't allow him to make an Erev throughout the entire city as one, because they're separate neighborhoods. They're separated by these pure debaturi, these ditches for the animal feed. So Rabba Bar Avua made separate Erevs throughout the entire city. Now, how did he do that? How did he make the entire city include an Erev? Because there was shear. There was some remnants. There was some parts out of the Erev, meaning because it was separated into neighborhoods. So each neighborhood was considered to be a shear for the other neighborhood. T'chol chad v'chad have a shear l'chavrei. Each one formed a shear for the other one. Therefore, he was able to establish an Erev throughout the entire city, even though it was an Irsha Rabban, which requires shear. There was shear here, because it wasn't one singular Erev throughout the entire city. It was separated into neighborhoods. Now, let's take a closer look at that town. Does that town have potential connectivity? No. Due to the natural barriers formed between the town, between the neighborhoods. Even though in that case, if they should wish to connect with each other, they had no option to do so. Nevertheless, we see that was considered to be a valid shear. So you see, this element of potential connectivity is not required. The fact is, you're leaving something out of the general Erev, and you don't allow transfer from one point to the other. That calls attention to the Erev factor and eliminates confusion and erroneous conclusions that you're carrying because you're allowed to carry Shizurab. Everybody sees it's due to the Erev factor. So that was Abaye's Raya from that story of Mechayza, and therefore he says there's no need to crack holes through those walls of the homes facing the river. They can be considered a shear despite the fact they have no potential connectivity to the city. Hadurama. Then he reverted again. He said, no, my proof from the story of Mechayza is unsubstantiated. Loy dami, there's no comparison. Hasam, in that case, Iboy la ruv derech gagos. If they want, Iboy, if they would wish, la ruv derech gagos, to be ma'ar through the rooftops. So Rashi says there was some rooftops, some detoys, he says, some of these balconies that were going from one house to the other, from one neighborhood to the other. So there was some physical connection between one and the other, which would allow them theoretically to connect to each other. So since there was a theoretical connection here, they had potential connectivity. That's why it's considered to be a shear if it's left out of the Erev. V'hani lo ma'arvi. In contrast to our case of these homes facing the river, they have no option of connecting to the city. Therefore, they cannot be deemed a shear. Hilkach na'avdan kavi. Let's make for them windows. Ha'adarami. Then he changed again. He says, no, kavi nami loibay. They don't even require windows. Why? Because potential connectivity is not required. And he brought a riot from the city of Pumpadis. Tahu beitivna. There was this silo, this grain, this hay silo. Davale lamar bar pupitsa bepumpadis. So the fellow bar pupitsa, who was the owner of this silo, from the town of Pumpadis, v'shav yeshir lepumpadis. And he made this Beis HaTeven, which is not really a Makam Dira, it doesn't require Erev, he deemed it a shear for the town from Medusa. This was considered to be a remnant out of the Erev and allowed establishing an Erev throughout the rest of the city. So apparently even something which doesn't have potential Erev, if it's left out of the Erev zone, that's considered to be fine. Some say, some Rishonim say that was actually a Beis Dira, was a dwelling, but it was not connected to the city. It was similar to the homes in the river, on the river. So in any case, it means arrive from here that potential connectivity is not required. So therefore, he left things alone and he established an Erev throughout the entire city of Kalkanoi by considering those homes along the river as the shear, the remnant for the city, and everything is fine. Omar, so as a result of this whole back and forth, Abaye concluded and he said, Hainu de Amar Limar. Now I understand what Rav Yosef was referring to when he said, Chazi, make sure. Delay mitzvah chasalav b'medrasha. Doesn't bring a backlash, cause uproar in the Beis Medrash. Taisus explains, because if you would have to break those walls unnecessarily, It would have created backlash and uproar. Good thing I didn't resort to that. I paid close attention and did it properly without causing undue complications. Continues the Gemara. So Eir Shiram requires a shear. How large a shear? A machlekes. Elim ken osla chutzalok ir chadasha. According to Abuda, the portion of the city out of the Eir of Zon needs to be equivalent to the Eir chadasha. The Rebbe Vadi Bartanur says this was the smallest sized city in the Yehuda zone of Eretz Yisrael. That was the term of the Chachamim as a properly sized city, as a properly sized portion of a city, which was considered a proper shear to send a message to all. Tanya Amar Yehuda Ir Achas Hayseb Yehuda V'Chadasha Shema. So there was a city in the area of Yehuda and Eretz Yisrael called Chadasha V'Hayiba Nun De'Yurim, which featured 50 residents, Anoshim V'Nashim V'Tav, between men, women, and children. And the Chachamim used this example of this city as your benchmark, as your formula, meant to be applied to every city. This is considered to be a shear, a large enough size, sized area which is going to be left out of the Erev, which sends that message. V'hiyos ha'shir, and actually that city itself formed a shear, a remnant for a large city next to it. So it itself also served that purpose. There was a large city next to this Ir Chadasha, and they created an Erev throughout the large city, leaving this Ir Chadasha out of the Erev zone. And that provided shear to allow Erev through the other city. Iboilu, Chadasha Mao. What about this very city Chadasha? Does it need its own shear? So this small city was situated next to the large city. Now, the large city had its own Erev. The question is, this small Erev Chadasha, does it allow making Erev throughout it? Or do you need to leave something in the city itself? So, Zimmer, why would you need to leave another shear? Let's remember, the large city had its own Erev. So that itself is separate from the Erev Chadasha, right? You had a large city, a small city, each one having its own Erev. So each one can be considered a shear for the next city because it's being left out of the other city's Erev zone. Just as it was serving as a shear for the larger city, it was kept out of the air of the larger city. Likewise, the large city situated next to it formed a shear for the Ktana because it was left out of the air of the Ktana. There's no concern there, of course. You can make an air for the Gdoila, an air throughout the Ktana. Rather, the question applied to a different scenario entirely. Let's say you have just a plain city on its own, which has similar size to the Ir Chadasha. That's 50 residents. The question is, even though it's an Ir Shiram, but since it's so small in size, perhaps the Chachamim's concern about confusion, confusing this with Ir Shiram, won't apply here when it's such a small size city. Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda, between these two, Rav Chada and Rav Yishir, one maintains even this small sized city needs to have a shear, need to leave a portion of the city out of the Erev. V'chad Amar, the other shita says, Loi bo yishir, this tiny city does not need its own shear. It doesn't appear like it was just a rabbin. Therefore, you can make one Erev throughout the entire city without any concern. This is shita that Rabbi Yehuda holds, that a shear must be equivalent in size to the Erev Chadasha, which had 50 residents. Rav Shimon Omer, the remnant could be even smaller in size. Gimel chatzeres v'chu, three courtyards with two houses each. Amar v'cham bar guri amar rav, halacha k'Rabbi Shimon. That's how the halacha concludes. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, he has a third sheet. Afilu bayis echad v'chatzer achas. Even if the leftover portion, the shear, only comprises one house, v'chatzer achas, or one courtyard, that's okay. How can you say one courtyard? If it doesn't have a home, it's not a dwelling area, it can't be considered a shear for the city. All he meant to say was that even if you have one home within one courtyard, that is also enough to be considered a shear. So I have three shears. Rabbi Yehuda says it needs to be the same size as the Ir Chadasha. Shimon says three courtyards, two houses each. And Rabbi Yitzchak adds another shita, even one house in a courtyard. Only Abayi Rav Yosef. Ha Adar Rabbi Yitzchak, Gemara or Isvar? This quote of Rabbi Yitzchak, one house in a chatzar, is this something of a Gemara that he accepted from his teachers? Isvar, or was it something that he himself suggested? His own Svar. Amalei, so Rav Yosef responded, what difference does it make? Because in either case, we just concluded that Halacha follows Reb Shimon. So not following the Shita in any case. What's the difference if it's something he accepted and received from his Rebbeim, or he originated on his own? Amalei Gemara Gemara Zmartate. It's like a person says, learn your Gemara. Zmartate, learn it like a song. I'd like to know. I need to have accuracy here. I need to know where this Shita is coming from. Perhaps it can be applied elsewhere. We have to know the precise source of this Shita. Therefore, I questioned whether it was a Gemara or something which he originated on his own. Okay, so in summary, we learned that an Irv Sharabim requires a sheer part of the city needs to be left out of the Irv. Now, the Gemara concluded that even if that section that you're going to leave out of the Irv can't even have potential connectivity to the city, that's okay. The fact is that it's being left out of the Erev. You can't transfer there. And that serves to highlight the fact that there's an Erev factor playing here, which allows carrying through the city. And this will eliminate confusion and erroneous application of this Heta Tiltu to a standard Sturam. How large a shear must be established. We have three shittas. Rabita says 50 residents. Shema says three chatzeris with two houses each. And Rabbi Yitzchak says even one house in a chatz. Continues the Mishnah. Misha haya b'mizrach v'amar levnoi arev li b'marv. So this fellow standing to the east, and he asks his son to make him an erev, to establish an erev tchumen out to the west. Or b'marv, he's standing in the west. And he instructs his son, Aravli b'mizrach, establish for me an Erev Tchumen in the east. Says the Mishnah, now, if the distance between this person and his home, during the point of Bein Hashmashos, of course, that's when things get established. So at that point, if he's within 2,000 amma of his real home, Ulei Ruva Yosem Mikan, but the distance between him and his Erev that his son has set down for him is more than 2,000 amma. In that case, he cannot be Kohen Shvisa there, because it's beyond his 2,000 limit. So what happens then? Mutal Abesa. He's allowed to have his home, meaning the home remains his Makam Shvisa. He attains he retains the territory, the Tchum around his home, because he was within reach of his home during Ben Hashmashis. So that remains his Makam Shvisa, Ba'asel Liruvoi. And he does not get the Tchum pertaining to the Erev Tchumen that his son established for him, because it was out of bounds during Ben Hashmashis. It was beyond 2,000. So that Erev is ineffective. So what happens? He retains his old former Makam Shvisa, which is his home. What about in the reverse case? Liruvoi Apai Amo. If during Ben Hashmashes he was to be found within 2,000 of the Erev, Lebesa Yasser Mikan, and more than 2,000 from his home, in this case, just the opposite will happen. Also Lebesoi, Umutale Ruvoi. He doesn't have the Shvisa of his home, but he gets the Shvisa of the Erev. That becomes his place of residence, and he attains the Tchum of 2,000 around the bread of the Erev. Hanoisin is a Ruvoi Beibur Shalir. A person places Erev within the Ibur, the extension, the 70 and 2/3 Amma extension of the city, which is considered to be like part of the city. So if he places Erev within a bias that was situated within this municipal boundary of the city, it's worthless. It's ineffective because it's his city regardless. This is his place of residence. He hasn't really accomplished anything. If he places it out of the Tchum, even if it's just one Amma out, the Gemara will tell us actually this was out of the 70 Amma boundary, meaning not out of the 2,000 Amma boundary, which in case he doesn't have any Shvisa because it's out of bounds. So he placed it out of the Ibur, which case is considered to be a valid Erev. So even if it was just one amma out of the ibur, it's effective. And what happens? That becomes his machon shvisa, and he acquires the tchum of 2,000 amma in each direction of the erev. Mashiniskar hu mafsid. So what he gains on one side of the city, he loses on the other. Let's take a look at Rashi inside, on the top line. So Rashi, mashiniskar l'ruach zeh, what he gains to one direction, nifsad l'rosh ha-kenegd, he's going to lose on the other side. Why? Shari moina min ha-erev apay mechol ruach. Because he needs to measure 2,000 amma in all directions of the erev. V'im nesane b'seif elef l'mizrach. What happens if he placed it at the 1,000 amma mark to the east of the city? Nimtza shekolos alpayim shel mizrach b'seif gemal lafim l'ir. So, until where can he walk? He can walk another 2,000, which is a total of 3,000 from the city. V'nishtaker elef. So he gained an extra 1,000. Right? So this was the city. And he put his erev 1,000 amma from the city. That becomes his makam shvisa. Allows him to walk another 2,000 for a total of 3. Now, how much can he walk in the other direction, to the other side of the city? Only 1,000. Valpaim shel marav kolis b'seif elav shel marav e'er. So the erev which was established, let's say to the east of the city, 1,000 amma to the east, gives him 2,000 beyond that way, and 2,000 this way. So he has 1,000 back to the city. He skips over the city, because the city is not included in the calculation, only counts like 4 amas. And he has an additional 1,000 to the other side. Instead of the 2,000 he would have had if he would not establish the Erev there, because when he's in the city, he has 2,000 in either direction. The fact that he established an Erev, 1,000 amas to the east of the city, gives him 3,000 amas to the right of the city, to the east of the city, and leaves him only 1,000 to the other side. So that's what the Mishnah means. Mashiniska or mafsid. Whatever he gains on this side, he has to give up on the other side. Valpaim shalmar of kolos b'seif elef shalmar v'irv hifsid the elef, and he loses 1,000 on the other side, meaning his boundary has been brought down from 2 to 1, because that's the only thing he has left from the boundary of his era. V'kamashmalan. What's the point of this? What the Mishnah is teaching us, isn't this pretty obvious? The Mishnah is teaching us de'ina ir oileloi b'nechesh b'nalpaim. We don't calculate the city into the total amount. It doesn't get deducted from the tchum. It's rather we treat it like 4 amis, because it's a single place of residence. A city is one entity. It's like 4 amis. So he's going to have an additional 1,000 to the mire of the city. We don't reckon the actual area of the city. We don't deduct that from his tchum. Continues the Gemara. So the Mishnah began by telling us there was a father with his son. The father was b'mizrach, and he tells his son, "Arev li b'marav, establish an erev in the west." Or he was in the west, told his son, "Establish the erev tchumin in the east." The Gemara figures, what is east and west in relation to? It's relative to his home. So let's say he has a home here. And he's standing to the east. Tells his son, place an Erev to Marav of the home, other side of the home, or vice versa. Now, the Mishnah tells us that it depends on where he's situated. It's going to affect the results here. Meaning, if he's within 2,000 of the home, of his home, and beyond 2,000 of the Erev, and the Erev, it can be valid because it's beyond his reach. Then he attains, or he retains, the shvisa of his home. What if he is within 2,000 of the Erev, but beyond 2,000 of the home? Then the reverse happens. He gets the shvisa of the Erev, but not of his home. He loses the shvisa of his home, and it's replaced by the shvisa of the Erev. Now, if the situation was as we just described, the home is in the middle, he is standing to the east of his home, and his son is placing an Erev to the west of his home. So the first scenario is probable. He's within 2,000 of the home, but beyond the reach of the Erev, which is all on the other side of the home. But the second scenario, how is that going to work? That he's within 2,000 of the Erev, but beyond 2,000 of the home? How's that possible? He's closer to his home than to the Erev, which was situated beyond his home. Says Mokasal Gadaitach, we figured, Lemizrach Beisai. East here is in relation to his home. He is standing to the east of his home, and he's telling his son, place an Erev Lemarev. Lemarev, Lemarev Beisai. Lemarev here means to the west of his home. So Bishlam Heimenu Lebeisai Alpaim Amma Ulei Ruva Yosemekan. Certainly that description, that this person is situated within 2,000 of his home, but beyond 2,000 of his Erev, Mishkachasla. That can certainly be found, that's probable, the Matil Beisil Matil Ruvay. He can reach his home because it's within 2,000, but can't reach his Erev, which is lying beyond his home and beyond 2,000. So that situation is probable. Elahi Menule Ruvay Alpayim Amma. But the second description, that he is situated within 2,000 of his Erev, Ula Beisil Yasumekan, but beyond 2,000 of his home, Hechem Mishkachasla. How is that to be found? It seems to be an impossible scenario. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, mi savers lemizrach lemizrach beisoy, lemarav lemarav beisoy. Do you think that the Mishnah, when mentioning mizrach lemarav, it's relative to his home? It's his relative position, relative to his home? No, it's unrelated to his home. We're not discussing his home. Loi, lemizrach lemizrach b'noy, lemarav lemarav b'noy. Mizrach means he was standing to the east of his son. And he tells his son, you know, place an Erev to the west. Lemarev means he was Lemarev of his son. And he told his son, place an Erev to the east. It's unrelated to his home. We don't know where the home is. And therefore, both situations can work out. Rav Bar Shila Omar, afilu teima lemizrach lemizrach beisi. Ulemarev lemarev beisi. Even if you interpret mizrach as in relation to his home, and marev in relation to his home, it still can work out. How? How can we find a case where he is closer to his Erev than to his home? That his home was situated at an angle. Meaning we have the home here, and this fellow was standing to the east of his home, but not directly to the east. Off, at an angle, southeast. So he's standing here, and he tells his son, Arev libe marev. Establish him in Erev, to the west, meaning southwest. Or in the reverse, he's standing southwest, and he tells his son, place for me an Erev southeast of the home. So Mizrach HaMarev is in relation to the home, but it's not directly opposite the home, in which case we have a problem, how to figure out the Mishnah. Rather, we're speaking at an angle. So let's say he's standing to the east, southeast of his home, and his son established an Erev for him southwest of his home. It's very possible that the distance between him and the home could be a greater distance than between him and the Erev. Why not? Therefore, that scenario certainly can take place. And now we understand the halacha of the Mishnah, that if he's beyond 2,000 of his home, but within 2,000 of the Erev, and the Erev has been activated, and that becomes his Makom Shvisa instead of his home. Continues the Gemara. Hanois Neiruvoi B'Sechibur Shalir. He placed it within the confines of the municipal boundaries of a city, it doesn't work. But he placed it out of the tchum, it's okay. Chosel tchum is like a daitach, out of the tchum, meaning beyond 2,000 of the city, that's out of bounds. He has no access to his Erev, that Erev is invalid. Ele'em chosel ibura. The Mishnah simply meant that he placed it out of the ibur, meaning out of the 70 Amazon. And over there, it's considered to be a proper Erev. What happens? Mashinisker or mafsid. Whatever he gains on one side of the city, he must give up on the other side. But as Rashi pointed out for us, that the city itself only accounts for 4 amas. He doesn't have to deduct the entire area of the city from his tchum. Says more, is that the case? Is that really so that the city is merely regarded like 4 amas? Mashiniska v'shuloi? He only has to give up on the other side of the city what he gained on this side, but the city itself is not reckoned with. V'atanya, hanois neseruvay b'sechi bur shalir, loyosav leklum. If one places an Erev within the 70 amma of the city, it's worthless. Nesanech chus libur shalir, place it outside the ibur. Afilu amma achas, even if it's just 1 amma out, it works. And what happens? Mistaker ois amma, he gains that, meaning it allows him to walk that additional amma. Umaf says kalir kula, but he loses the entire city, which is deducted from his tchum territory. Midas seir, oy la loy midas atchum. the area of the city is accounted for in the Tchum. So this contradicts our Mishnah. Says Malay Kasha, the answer is like this. It depends on the situation. Kasha calls him Midasa Bechatzir. The Brisa which tells us that the actual area of the city is reckoned, is calculated as part of the Tchum, is speaking where the Tchum, the 2000, terminated in the middle of the city. So it didn't really envelop the city. It didn't cover the entire city. So he places Erev outside the city, and he's counting his 2,000, and it's right in the middle of the city. He has to stop there. But, let's say, somehow the Erev arrangement allowed him to calculate 2,000, and that 2,000 ended beyond the city, in which case the entire city was included in the Tchum, then this becomes, that's considered like one place of residence, one unit, because it's within the confines of his territory, and therefore we regard it like four amas. So it depends on the situation. The Mishnah is speaking where the 2,000 amma terminated beyond the city. It covered the entire city and beyond. In which case, the entire city now is merely regarded like four amas because it was included in the Tchum. It's part of his territory, part of his domain. We deem it like just one residential area, like one unit of four amas. But in a case where the 2,000 ended somewhere in the middle of the city, rather than at the end of the city, in that case it must stop right there. We reckon with the area space of the city itself. And it is accounted for. It is deducted from his 2,000. So, says, like Kasha, the answer is like this. Kasha calls him Midasa Bechatzir. The Braisa, which tells us that the city is accounted for, is when the Mida, the Tchum measurement, terminated somewhere in the middle of the city. Kan, our Mishnah, which says that the city is not accounted for, merely is treated like four Amis, is speaking, she calls him Midasa Bechatzir. When the 2,000 Amma terminated at the end of the city, in which case the entire city is included in the Tchum, and is regarded like four amas. Let's take a look at Rashi right up to the left. Shekosu midasa bechatzir, says Rashi, Moisa ir gedoyla. Why did the 2,000 end the middle of the city? Because it was a huge city. Or his heir was placed so far from the city, in which case the 2,000 didn't cover the city, it ended right in the middle of the city. In which case the city was not included, was not enveloped within the 2,000 amma. In this case, the city is accounted for and is deducted from the calculation from the total of his territory. Mafsida, and he loses that territory, meaning it must be calculated as part of the Tchum. But if the entire city is enveloped within his 2,000, in that case, it's only regarded like four amas. You don't deduct. You don't have to allow for the territory of the city itself. You treat it merely like four amas. Says the Gemara, Ukud Rav Idi, this concept defined by Rav Idi. The Omer Rav Idi, Omer Shem Alevi. Hoya Moida Deba, this fellow was measuring his Tchum, he's counting his 2,000. V'kol Som Midasa B'chatzir, and his 2,000 ended right in the middle of the city. Ein Lo Yala Chatzir. That's all he has. He can't go any further. Because the portion of the city, which he has already measured, is calculated as part of his total. So it's 2,000 end right there. Kol Som Midasa B'Soifayir, but 2,000 ended at the end of the city, in which case the entire city has been enveloped within his territory. Nasas Le'ir Kulo Gedal Damis. The city is treated merely like four Amis. U'mashlimin Lo Yisashar. And we let him finish the remainder, meaning whatever's left of your 2,000, keep on counting. The city is only considered like four Amis. You only have to count for that much. If you deduct four amas for the city, the rest of the Tchum, you can continue measuring beyond the city. Amar of Iti, I don't understand this distinction between the Tchum ending in the middle of the city, in which case the city is not like four amas, or if it ends at the end of the city, it is four amas. What's the difference between one and the other? Ein Elu, Hela Divir Nevius. These words of Rav Iti, the name of Shomer Levi, seem to me like words of prophecy. It doesn't seem to be rational. And he must have accepted it, must have received it from his teacher as an absolute halacha. It's not something that I can really explain. Mali kosa b'chatzir. What difference does it make if his tchum terminated in the middle of the city? Mali kosa b'soifir. Or if it terminated at the end of the city? What's the difference between one and the other? Is it a city four amas or not four amas? I have no way of explaining this distinction between one case and the other. Amar Rava tarvayu tanani. Both halachas, meaning both scenarios, were actually learned in the Mishnah, which indicates for us that this distinction is true and correct. as Be'ezus Hashem we're going to see in the next daf. Okay, time for a brief chazorah of today's daf. The Gemara began discussing the concept of a sulam, a ladder leaning against a wall. Rav Nachman told us the name of Shmuel. Rav Yehuda told us the name of Shmuel. That can only be used for our benefit. It doesn't negate a mechitza l'chumra. It doesn't necessarily detract from the power of that physical mechitza that is present there. The ladder allows for access. So when it helps us, and it's to our benefit, we make use of that ladder. But it will not be applied when it creates a chumra and detracts from the mechitza and the power of the mechitza. As Rashi says, the chol be'ruvin l'hakel, we apply leniencies when it comes to erevin. Therefore, if it helps us, fine. Otherwise, we ignore the ladder. The Gemara discussed the concept of shir. So this ir shel rabim needs to have some portion of the city which is not included in the general erev to call attention to the fact that the carrying allowance in the city is due to the presence of an erev. Lest one confuse things and say, well, look, we're carrying an ishus rabim. How large a shir must be left out of the erev? Rav Machlekes, Rav Yehuda says 50 residents. Shem says three courtyards, two houses each. Rabbi Yitzchak says even one house in the courtyard. And the Gemara concluded from that whole story of Abai and Rabbi Yosef that the sheer portion that you're going to leave out of the Erev doesn't need to be an area which has potential connectivity to the city. Even if it doesn't have the option of connecting to the city, that is also considered to be a sheer. As long as you leave something out of the Erev of the city, it calls attention to the Erev concept and removes any concern of confusion. We proceeded with the Mishnah and the Gemara, which told us that an Erev which is placed within the Ibur Shalir, within the municipal boundaries of a city, is invalid. You haven't done anything. It's in the city. That's where you reside. So you haven't placed an Erev outside the city. But if you place it outside the city, then you calculate matters. Well, whatever territory you gain on one side of the city, you have to give up on the other. However, regarding the area space of the city itself, is that reckoned or not? That depends. The Gemara concluded that if the 2,000 Amah boundary ends in the middle of the city, then in that case you have to reckon the part of the city that you calculated as part of your Tchum. But if the Tchum ended at the end of the city, in which case the entire city is enveloped in your Tchum, in this case, you don't have to account for the entire space of the city. Rather, you treat it merely like four Amahs, considered to be one residential unit, one space which has a din of four Amahs, and that's all you have to deduct from your Erev, and resume your calculation beyond the city. How do you differentiate one and the other? This seems to be like words of prophecy, and Rava responds, actually, this is sourced in the Mishnah, as we're going to see the next blood, Be'ez Hashem.